this is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel keeps up its deadly onslaught on the besieged Gaza Strip, with the death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide rising to over 34,000. The Iraqi military base housing PMU resistance fighters comes under a drone attack south of the capital, Baghdad. Some Iraqi officials blame the strike on Israel. U.S. police in New York raid a major pro-Palestine sit-in at Columbia University campus, arresting more than 100 students. This is news. Thanks for joining us. More Palestinians have lost their lives as the Israeli regime goes ahead with its genocidal war on the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Health Ministry has reported 37 deaths in Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes and shelling over the past 24 hours. New fatalities have pushed the death toll since the beginning of the war to over 34,000, mostly women and children. At least 76,900 Gazans have also been injured during the same period, while thousands remain unaccounted for. Palestinians in the besieged Strip are struggling to survive as the regime keeps blocking humanitarian aid. UN agencies have reported steep rise in malnutrition in Gaza. Health services are also on the brink of collapse, as only 12 out of 36 hospitals are partially functioning. The regime continued its genocidal campaign in Gaza, defying a global outcry. Meanwhile, the Israeli occupation forces have carried out fresh raids on several areas across the occupied West Bank. It includes the Nur Shams refugee camp near the city of Tulkarem, where at least 7 Palestinians have been killed since last night. With exchange of fire between Israeli regime forces and Hezbollah resistance movement continues in southern Lebanon, as tensions remain high over the regime's genocidal war against the Gaza Strip. The Lebanese resistance movement has launched several operations against Israeli positions in Hadab, Yarain, and in Mount Yarmouk, causing casualties. Regime forces also attacked residential areas in the Lebanese territories. Our correspondent in Beirut, Mayim Saleh, joined us earlier for more details.
The operations here have continued unabated. Hezbollah has proven, especially with the Israeli and U.S. pressure that is being put on Lebanon through diplomatic means. It seems Hezbollah is continuously basically targeting the Israelis, despite the fact that we have several days where Hezbollah tightens the noose and basically presses ahead with really significant, complex operations. At some times, there are routine operations. Today in the early morning, Hezbollah launched, as you said, an operation against the base of Hadab Yarin. And this is one of the bases. And it's a surprise to see that Hezbollah always finds something to target in those bases. Although some of them have been destroyed, their technological devices, their espionage devices, their radars, a lot of them have been destroyed. Hezbollah has also targeted a deployment of soldiers in the Mount of Adathir. The Mount of Adathir is one of the series of mountains that are a part of the Jarmuk mountain. There is also the issue of the operation in Arab al-Jarmuk, Arab al-Aramisha, excuse me, which is was significant operation recently. We know from Israeli media that at least 6 Israeli soldiers are still in very, very critical condition in hospital, and despite the fact that there is no disclosure of a number of soldiers, if they were dead or killed, but this was a very significant operation. The Israelis, of course, continue their shelling. Yesterday, they reached areas that are closer to the city of Tyre. Today, they are bombarding the heart of the towns of Kfar Kila and Ait Ashab. These are residential areas, civilian houses that are being destroyed on a daily basis.
The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has fired drones at an Israeli position in the occupied territories following an early morning attack on an Iraqi military base. The umbrella group of Iraqi resistance factions has released a video of its attack, saying that they targeted a key location in the occupied port city of Eilat. The strike followed a drone attack on an Iraqi military base in the Babylon province. The base is jointly used by the Iraqi resistance group known as the Popular Mobilization Units, or PMU, the Iraqi Federal Police, and the Army. Some Iraqi officials blame the pre-dawn attack on Israel, although a PMU statement says that the U.S. was behind the incident. According to the chief security official in the Babylon province, there were 5 explosions at the base, leaving at least 1 person dead and several others injured. Usama Mutalabi, he's an Iraqi politician, and he joined us from Baghdad to tell us how the presence of American forces poses a big challenge to Iraq's stability and sovereignty.
Definitely, there's always the risk of security breaches when you have foreign forces on your soil. We don't know their aims, we don't know their targets, we don't know what the strategy they are holding being in Iraq. Are they using Iraq as a launching point for instability in the region? Are they using to destabilize the country like they did in 2019 when the American embassy and the American bases were very active in leading the demonstrations against the Iraqi government and the Iraqi democratic system? So the presence of these forces definitely contradict with the sovereignty and the security, the strategic security of the nation. The parliament, the biggest bloc that is leading the parliament at the moment, are determined that the Americans must leave. If the government, represented by Mr. Sudani, does not achieve this target, definitely the parliament will have a different view. The political parties which dominate the Iraqi parliament has already declared their intention. They're already declared that the Americans must leave. Not only the Americans, all foreign fighting forces must leave the country. This issue is already in discussion. I'm sure that with the return of the Prime Minister from the United States, the Prime Minister will be informed of the results of these meetings, of this committee, and the dates and method for the Americans to leave Iraq will be declared. But definitely they are going to leave. We have taken the decision. The decision has been taken by the Parliament and the people of Iraq that the Americans must leave.
U.S. police have detained more than 100 pro-Palestinian students staging a sit-in on the campus of New York's Columbia University. The police clamped down on the protesters and cleared an encampment set up by students demonstrating against Israel's war in Gaza. Several students involved in the protests were also suspended from the university. They include Isra Hirsi, who is the daughter of Ilhan Omar, a Democrat in the U.S. House of Representatives. A university professor, Joseph Howley, has criticized the move, saying the university responded to how the students were protesting, rather than what they were protesting for. Meanwhile, the students returned to the school premises in defiance and in protest against the university policies. Since the onset of the Israeli genocidal war in Gaza, universities across the U.S. have seen a rise in protests and civil disobedience. An Israeli far-right minister has come under fire for posting the word lame on social media platform X after the regime's alleged operation inside of Iran. We discussed the issue in our news review program. Let's take a listen.
Welcome everyone to the news review program, where we get in-depth in one of the day's top stories. An Israeli far-right minister has drawn strong criticism for posting the word lame on social media platform X after regime's alleged operation inside of Iran. Israeli opposition leader Yair Lapid says posts by War Cabinet member Ben-Gvir has done heavy damage to Israel's security, its image, and international status. Lapid says Ben-Gvir managed to get Israel mocked and shamed all the way from Tehran to Washington. Also, Israeli media quoted unnamed officials close to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, slamming the minister's comments as childish and irrelevant. On Friday, Iran's army said the air defenses in the central city of Isfahan fired at suspicious objects. However, no damage was reported. An informed source said Iran's air defenses shot down 3 quadcopters over the city. And now joining us for the program is Fra Hughes, journalist, author, and activist, joining us out of Rome, and Barry Grossman, international lawyer, joining us from Bali, Indonesia. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you to joining us on the program here. Hope you're both doing well. I guess we'll start there in Rome with you, Fra. These divisions that we have seen actually growing deeper and deeper by the day in Israeli society, how deep do you see them from your perspective, and what kind of impact do you think they will have on Tel Aviv's politics moving forward?
Well, I'm not sure what we're witnessing is anything other than a public spat in the public domain for public consumption within Israel. That he believes that Israel has not responded forthrightly, it hasn't responded forcibly, and it has shown its weakness to the whole world. And on one level, I am pleased that if this is the actual Israeli response, then perhaps no further action will be required by the Iranian armed services, and perhaps a new deterrent has been created in the region, whereby the Israeli war cabinet filled with war criminals will have to think twice before they kill anyone, anywhere, at any time in the region if Iran will choose to retaliate. But we need to see where this will all go as we move forward, because Israeli society cares nothing for the lives of Palestinians. It cares nothing for the lives of Iranians, and we have to see whether or not they have finally been reined in, not by America, not by the UK, not by the EU, but by Iran.
Thank you, Fra, and Barry Grossman, welcome to the program.
What we're seeing here is criticism of him, not because he was indeed appointed in the first place to occupy this very important strategic position as Minister of Security for the occupation, but rather because he dared to criticize the Biden administration and suggested that the occupation would do better negotiating with the new President Trump. There are not people lining up to condemn this seven-time convicted criminal. He was indicted 53 times. His name first became public when he'd stolen the hood ornament off of Yitzhak Rabin's Cadillac and threatened that he and his light-thinking cohorts would get to Rabin not long before Rabin was assassinated. The criticism isn't concerned with all of this, let alone with his position of support for Zionist and settler terrorism, retaking Gaza and expelling Palestinians and restricting their movement. That's not what the concern is about. The concern is about what his comments might do to relations between the executive branch in the United States and the Knesset and the security agencies of the occupation. But let's never forget that even Obama, who once took issue with Netanyahu during his first term, came back much later and said, look, as the president, Congress is largely controlled by AIPAC, and if you dissent, you won't remain president for very long. So they're not concerned in Israel about any criticism directed at the Biden administration or any enthusiasm for a potential new Trump administration.
Gentlemen, time has gotten the better of us, but I want to thank you both for joining us on the program, and stay safe to both of you. As Fra Hughes there joining us from Rome, Italy, and international lawyer Barry Grossman joining us out of Bali, Indonesia. This brings us to the conclusion of this segment of your news review program. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Iranians from all walks of life have taken to the streets to voice their support for the IRGC's Operation True Promise. The rallies were held after Friday prayers in all major cities across the country, with huge crowds taking part in the mass nationwide demonstrations. Gisumi Shahmedi has more.
chanting anti-Israel slogans and carrying placards with messages thanking the IRGC for conducting Operation True Promise. Thousands of Iranians marched down the streets in major cities across the country after the Friday prayers to voice their support for the armed forces and a recent punitive military operation carried out against Israel, dubbed Operation True Promise. The retaliatory attack was in response to Israel's deadly attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria on April the 1st, resulting in the martyrdom of top IRGC commander Brigadier General Mohammad Reza Zahedi and six other military officers. The punitive retaliatory attack involved a slew of drones and missiles targeting and causing damage to Israeli military bases.
There was a time when they could attack us and get away with it, but now the IRGC has proven that those days are over. I'm so proud of them.
We've been waiting for this moment for so long, ever since they assassinated Haj Qasem. I'm so grateful to our armed forces.
The IRGC really made all Iranians proud. We are so happy. That is why I'm here to thank them.
I was so happy on the night of the attack that I came out on the street to celebrate that the Israelis finally got what they have deserved after committing so many crimes.
The demonstrators also used the opportunity to denounce Israel's genocidal war in Gaza and its crimes against Palestinians.
We are here for the people of Gaza. I don't think any human being can watch what's happening and be indifferent.
Defending the oppressed is our duty. That is why I always take part in these demonstrations.
In cities all across Iran, people took part in mass demonstrations to show their support for the IRGC and Operation True Promise. Gisu Misha Ahmadi, Tehran.
The United States has announced the withdrawal of its forces from Niger, ending its over a decade-long military presence in the West African country. The decision came after a meeting of the U.S. Deputy Secretary of State with Niger's Prime Minister on Friday. Delegation of U.S. officials is set to visit Niamey to arrange the withdrawal of troops that were deployed under the pretext of fighting terrorism in Niger. Nigerians have held numerous protest rallies in recent months to demand their government expel foreign troops, including Americans. Niger's former colonizer, France, pulled out its forces at the end of 2023, but about 1,000 U.S. soldiers remained in the African country. Anti-U.S. sentiment has been running high in Niger, following a coup that overthrew the government of President Mohamed Bazoum last year. The Democratic People's Republic of Korea, DPRK, has carried out two major tests, including a super-large warhead designed for a strategic cruise missile amid growing tensions on the Korean Peninsula. According to the state media, the warhead was tested simultaneously with the launch of a new type of anti-aircraft missile in the West Sea on Friday afternoon. The South Korean military said it detected several cruise and surface-to-air missiles fired toward the same body of water. Pyongyang has, in recent months, accelerated its missile and nuclear programs, with test launches ranging from cruise, ballistic, and hypersonic missiles. The latest move followed a veto by Russia at the Security Council to effectively end the UN monitoring of sanctions imposed on the DPRK. Western sanctions on both countries have led to an increase in military cooperation between Pyongyang and Moscow. And that does it for this edition of World News. Thanks for being with us. It's bye-bye for now. We'll be right back.
a diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions, Culture, Politics, all produced by IRIB English Radio.
Leaders meeting with heads of three branches of government and senior officials. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with government ministers, senior officials and top managers of the Islamic Republic on Wednesday, 3rd of April 2024. The meeting took place at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in Tehran. In this program, we discuss the leader's remarks and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with the heads of the three branches of the Iranian government and a number of current and former government officials on Wednesday, 3rd of April, the 23rd day of the blessed month of Ramadan. The leader started off by saying a few words about the blessed month of Ramadan. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Ramadan is a blessed month in every sense of the word. This month truly is a blessed month as it develops and improves the inner spiritual abilities of individuals in various ways. It elevates people in both their human and divine characteristics. The betterment of individuals in society leads to the betterment of society as a whole." Commenting on fasting and the recitation of the Holy Quran, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "This has been emphasized and encouraged for this month, with people being promised increased reward. Beseeching God, reading supplications and reciting the recommended prayers for this month. Additionally, there is the night of Qadr, which presents an extremely important opportunity because the night of ordainment, or the night of Qadr, is better than 1,000 months. And there are various other aspects. With regards to fasting, fasting during the month of Ramadan develops an individual's ability to resist temptations. This is very important. A person's carnal desires never end. The more one responds to these desires, the more the cravings and expectations of the human's carnal self increases. It is necessary for a person to have the strength to curb these desires. Fasting gives us this strength. It allows us to practice strengthening our willpower and spirit and also controlling the never-ending desires of our carnal self. This is just one way to improve ourselves." In further remarks, the leader said, "Reciting the Holy Quran for those who reflect on its meaning refers to connecting to the endless sea of Islamic teachings. We have a constant need to be able to strengthen divine understanding in our hearts and to raise the level of our own understanding and insight. In the Quranic verse, to him ascends the good word. A major part of this good word is the understanding that enters the human self from the Quran. The leader added, the supplications that have been recommended for the month of Ramadan, at Sahar, the time before the morning call to prayer, during the nights, during the days, and on special days such as the first day of the month of Ramadan, immerse the human heart in remembrance of God. If a person pays attention to these supplications, it will lead to one building God's remembrance in himself or herself, and a connection with God in a suitable way. According to this noble verse of the Holy Quran, and the remembrance of Allah is surely greater. The main benefit of the ritual prayers is the remembrance of God, which brings happiness, progress, betterment and improvement, and helps one to avoid sin. Turning to the night of ordainment, or the night of Qadr, the leader said, the night of Qadr is a night of destiny. During the month of Ramadan, one can shape one's destiny by harmonizing with the night of Qadr. This is not a trivial matter. This is of great importance for those who earnestly pursue it. What is needed during these nights is asking and a yearning to ask. And of course, the night of Qadr stands out from all the other nights of the year. The rest of the nights of Ramadan have more or less the same attributes. These are what develop, cleanse and polish the intellect and the human mind and the human heart. When these qualities exist in an individual, they have a ripple effect in the wider society. The collective identity of society is shaped by the identities of individual members of society. Once we are able to correct ourselves, our influence on society increases accordingly. This is what strengthening the self really means. Commenting further, Ayatollah Khamenei said, Ramadan is a month that is related to society. It is the month of helping others. It's the month of giving charity and showing kindness. It's the month of iftar, the evening meal for breaking the fast, and giving iftar to others that has been so highly recommended. It isn't told to just give iftar to the less fortunate. The spirit of being in contact with and helping others, being together and showing kindness to others are some of the special features of the month of Ramadan. Therefore, Ramadan presents a wonderful opportunity for spiritual healing. Throughout the year, we suffer from wounds to our soul and to our lives. Every sin inflicts a wound. Much like physical injuries, they harm a person's soul, creating the wound. Ramadan, which is the month of seeking God's forgiveness, is the month of repairing these wounds inflicted during the rest of the year. We should be able to emerge from this month with a healthy soul, God willing. If you have not forgiven us in what has passed of this month of Ramadan, then forgive us in what remains of it, since this is the month of seeking God's forgiveness. Ayatollah Khamenei added, the concept of istighfar, seeking God's forgiveness, and repentance in the Islamic teaching is a very important matter. It is not specific to just personal issues either. Repentance with regards to a personal sin is one thing, and repentance with regard to a sin in society is another thing. The Holy Quran states that, now turn penitently to your Maker, and slay the guilty among your folks. This is with regards to sins in society. So when a sin is committed in society, the members of society or those responsible for creating the sin and the repercussions resulting from it must seek God's forgiveness, and they must repent. Turning to the economy, the leader emphasized that the realities of Iran's economy are both bitter and sweet. The bitter facts regarding Iran's economy include inflation, fluctuating and unstable prices, the national currency decreasing in value, and widening gap between the rich and the poor. The sweet facts about Iran's economy include the building of essential infrastructure, the revival of a large number of factories and workshops which had been shut down or were about to be shut down, manufacturing, production and employment, the establishment of thousands of high-tech, knowledge-based companies with a young, energetic, highly skilled and highly motivated workforce, and the many innovative and high-tech products which these companies produce. The good news is that these companies will gradually turn around and boost Iran's economy. Commenting further, the leader said, "The people of this country quite rightly expect the economic decisions and economic initiatives undertaken by officials and government to have a tangible and positive effect on their daily lives. This is a reasonable expectation, and the government and officials and managers must work towards realizing and achieving this expectation. It is a reasonable expectation since the country is endowed and blessed with extraordinary capacities and natural resources, as well as an excellent human resources." Turning to the slogan of the year, Leap in Production Together with People's Participation, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The main purpose of this slogan is to focus the attention of everyone on facilitating the participation of people in economic activities, and in the true sense of the word, to use the people's financial, mental and intellectual capabilities, along with their innovation and creativity, to improve the economy. Some believe that if people become involved in the economy and its management, this will limit the authority of the government. However, this is a misconception. Responsibilities should be divided among government officials and the people. When I say the government, I do not only mean the government itself, I'm also referring to semi-governmental entities as well. There is no difference, and we must allocate tasks. Some tasks are the responsibility of the government, other tasks are the responsibility of the people." The leader emphasized that the way should be opened up for people to be able to engage in economic activities, and that this will greatly strengthen the country and stabilize the economy. Turning to the situation in occupied Palestine, the leader said, "It is important to keep Gaza as the first priority in public opinion worldwide. This is an extremely important point. From what I understand of recent history, the atrocities occurring in Gaza are unprecedented. These kinds of crimes, the mass killings, genocide and attacks on women, children, patients, hospitals, and these tragedies that took place in hospitals are truly horrific. It is so terrible that even those who have been brought up in Western culture, in Europe and in the United States itself, are crying out in protest. Despite not having full access to information, they're taking action based on their limited knowledge of what is happening. This is how severe the crimes of the Zionist regime are. And this is truly an important point. It is also very important in another sense. That is the fact that the Zionist regime has suffered two major defeats in Gaza. The first defeat it suffered was due to the Al-Aqsa flood operation on 7th of October last year, which, as I have mentioned before, cannot be compensated for. That is truly how it is. That defeat has not been compensated for, and it will never be compensated. A regime that relies on the accuracy of its intelligence, on the development of its military capabilities, and on its military superiority, claiming that it is aware of what's going on around it, experienced an intelligence defeat of this magnitude at the hands of Palestinian resistance group with limited resources. This was the first defeat of the Zionist regime suffered. The defeat has not been compensated for, and it will never be compensated for. The second defeat is a defeat that it experienced over the past 6 months. From the first day when they entered the battlefield, they declared certain goals to make up for their first defeat, but they have been unable to achieve any of these goals in the past 6 months. They have launched attacks using all kinds of weaponry and equipment with the unfailing help of the United States, which has helped the Zionist regime with military, financial, and political assistance. The United States has vetoed several resolutions at the UN Security Council. The latest resolution, which in some ways it could not veto, is said to be non-binding. The Zionist regime is massacring women and children because it has failed to be able to confront the resistance fighters. It feels powerless there, becomes agitated, attacks innocent, defenseless women and children, and has killed over 30,000 Palestinians, most of them women and children. This defeat will definitely continue. They have fallen into a trap of their own making. They have thrown themselves into a trap from which there is no escape. Commenting further on this year's International Quds Day rallies and marches, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "This year's International Quds Day rallies and marches against the usurping Zionist regime were more enthusiastic than ever before. In previous years, International Quds Day was only observed in Islamic countries, but this year, International Quds Day was magnificently observed in non-Islamic countries too. The people of Iran showed their full support for their Palestinian brothers and sisters." In concluding remarks, the leader wished God's greetings, mercy and blessings upon all those present. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395, Iran-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
I've been looking at the passage from Dua Iftitah where the Imam of the time, Hazrat Mahdi Jalallahu Ta'ala Faraju Sharif, describes the qualities, some of the qualities of Amir al-Mu'mineen. In the last three majalis, we looked at the titles Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then the second one, Wasiyu Rasul Rabbil Alameen, and then the third one, we looked at the issue of Abdika wa Waliyik. The first one was in relation to the believers, that he is the Amir and chief of the believers. The second one was in relation to Ali and Rasulullah, that he is his successor. And last night we looked at the two qualities, Abd and Wali, that Ali is the slave and the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To continue with that phrase, where the Imam says, Allahumma wa salli ala aliyyin amir al-mu'minin wa basiyy rasul rabbil alameen and wa abdika wa waliyik. And then he comes to the phrase which I want to discuss tonight, and that is wa akhi rasulik, and the brother of your messenger. Now this designation of Ali as the brother of Rasulullah might sound very simple matter, but it was something that Ali, you know, took pride in that. And just to understand that, let me talk about the context of that. You see, Islam is a religion not of individuals, but of a community. And from day one, the Prophet of Islam emphasized the point that the believers are brethren in faith of one another. In Surah Hujarat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. إِخْوَى here, brothers, brotherhood in the sense of faith and religion. The Prophet did not only live this concept on a, you know, this theme on a conceptual level. He actually took practical steps to enforce that. And this is where we see that the Prophet actually wanted to strengthen the ties of brotherhood among the believers, and at least we know there are two incidents, one in Mecca and one in Medina, where the Prophet actually gathered the Muslims, and he would actually point out one and the other, and he would say, you are brothers of one another. In Mecca, they were all later on known as Muhajireen, but in Medina, the situation was different. In Medina, the brotherhood was established between the Muhajireen and Ansar. And there was a reason behind it, but I'll come to that later on. But we see from the Sunni historians, people like Ibn Abd al-Barr, who has written a very extensive biography of the Sahaba in his book known as Al-Isti'ab, when he talks about Ali ibn Abi Talib there, he says that in all these cases of brotherhood, ukhuwah, in Mecca and Medina, when it came to Ali, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose Ali as his brother. When he says, Anta akhi fi dunya wal akhira, that you are my brother in this world and the hereafter. And this is where it's important to realize that, you know, according to Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, in another narration, the Prophet, when he paired up the people with one another. And what that meant was those who were more rich or affluent had to help the other one. Especially in the case of Medina, because Muhajirin were like refugees. Ansar were the citizens of that city anyway. And in both cases, you know, Ali would be left out. And in one, it's very interesting that Ali goes to Rasulullah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, أَخَيْتَ بَيْنَ أَصْحَابِكَ, you created this brotherhood between your companions, وَلَمْ تُعَخِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ أَحَدْ, but you did not pair anyone with me in this bond of, you know, brethren in faith. And this is where the Prophet responds to him by saying, Ya Ali, anta akhi fi dunya wal akhirah. Another wording from Sunni source again, where the Prophet says, Walima tarani taraktuka. Why do you think I left you alone? You know, I did not pair you with anyone. He says, Innama taraktuka li nafsi, I have left you alone for myself. You are my brother. And it's important to realize, when he talks about brotherhood, about other people, it was more about the dunya. In this case, he's saying that Ali is my brother in this dunya, as well as in the akhirah. When the Prophet would pair the Muslims with one another, he was actually also using human psychology. It wasn't that, you know, the list was there and randomly he will just pick one from one group and the other from another. He would actually look at the characteristics and the temperament of the companions to be paired. And so we see, for example, in one case, this is probably in Mecca, that Abu Bakr is paired with Umar, Usman with Abdurrahman bin Auf, Talha with Zubair, Abu Dhar with Miqdad. And so he would look at the, what we call, you know, the characteristic and the nature, mizaj ko bhi dekhte the, you know, then he would pair them together. But when it came to Ali, in all cases, he would keep Ali for himself. And this is something so important that, especially when you see in Medina, you see in Medina, you have this group called Muhajirin, who had left everything back in Mecca. They didn't have much to survive on. Ansar were the people who were at home. They had their homes, their family, their tribe. They were mostly farmers. And so they were established. And the ukhuwat and brotherhood that Rasulullah established in Medina had a very practical reason for it, the purpose behind it. He wanted the Ansar to help the Muhajirin to settle down. And mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually praises Ansar, that they actually, some of them went beyond the call of duty. Some of them, when they were paired with one of the Muhajir brothers, they would took them home, and then they would put their entire worldly possession in one place, divide that into half, and you will say, okay, this half now belongs to you, you take it. And so that was the extent. Actually, some of them even went to the extent of whenever they would make the will for their estate, where they would include their family members, they would also include their, you know, brethren in faith, paired with them by Rasulullah. And that is where the ayat comes down. This is amazing. This is one ayat where I see Allah says, okay, that's it. Don't do more than this. When it came to inheritance, the laws of inheritance and estate, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the family members, the blood relatives have preference over brethren in faith. Yes, you help them, but when it comes to miras, it is the family who has the first right.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Ali Muhali Hakim Mati شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23rd, 2015 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution. Another fundamental point is that lifting sanctions should not depend on the fulfillment of Iran's commitments. They cannot say, you should stop using Iraq's heavy water reactor and decrease the number of centrifuges. After you do this, as well as some other tasks, then the Atomic Energy Agency will come and oversee the matters. If it testifies that you are telling the truth and that you have done these tasks, then we will lift sanctions. We do not agree with this in any way. Lifting sanctions is not dependent on the fulfillment of Iran's commitments. Of course, lifting sanctions has certain procedures. This is all right with us. We accept that the procedure of lifting sanctions should be in line with the procedure of the fulfillment of the commitments that Iran has taken on. Some in return for some, others in return for others, and it should go on like this.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has